Κυρίες και κύριοι, επιστροφή στην εκπομπή, η παγκόσμια φωνή μας και όπως είπα έχουμε συνδεθεί με τις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες και συγκεκριμένα την πολιτεία της Πενσιλβάνια να μιλήσουμε με έναν Έλληνα, έναν ομογενή μας, ο οποίος έφυγε μικρό παιδί από εδώ, θα μας τα πει ο ίδιος, τον Άντριου Μόσιν, ο οποίος είναι μαζί μας. Άντριου, hello from Athens.
Good afternoon from Athens.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Andrew, every time we have somebody like you on our show, we ask him, we ask her the same question. That is, when did you leave Greece? Do you remember? Do you know? Πότε έφυγες από την Ελλάδα? I will translate, at, you know, so that our audience is able to follow in case they don't understand English.
Okay. So I left in June of 1960, as I recall, when I was about a year and a half old, I think.
Okay. Ο Άντριου μας είπε ότι έφυγε από την Ελλάδα τον Ιούνιο του 1960. Ήταν περίπου 1,5 χρονών όταν έφυγε από την Ελλάδα. Άντριου, do you have memories? Do you remember anything from that period? You were very young, of course, but just in case. Θυμάσαι τίποτα?
I don't remember anything about, you know, flying over at that age, but I do remember very distinctly my first home in Washington, D.C. With my adoptive parents when I was about 3 years old. I remember the crib I was in, which was in the middle of the living room for some reason. I don't know why. And I have distinct memories of those things. So relatively early, but not as early as anything from Mitera, where I was living until I left Greece.
Andrew, when did you learn that you were adopted?
No, this is, let me, just a moment, because we have to translate. Μας είπε ο Άντριο ότι δεν θυμάται φυσικά όταν ήταν 1,5 χρονών, αλλά θυμάται όταν ήταν περίπου 3 ετών, όταν ήταν στο σπίτι του στην Washington DC.
Στη μέση του σαλονιού, για κάποιο ανεξήγητο λόγο, λέει.
Ναι, για κάποιο ανεξήγητο λόγο θυμάται αυτό. Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
I learned that I was adopted when I was about 6 or 7 years old.
Μας είπε ότι έμαθε ότι ήταν υιοθετημένος όταν ήταν σε ηλικία 6-7 ετών.
How? Your mother said, told you?
Ποιος το είπε?
Yes, and in short, my mother, who had no real knowledge, my adoptive mother, that is, Iris, had no real knowledge of my circumstances in Greece before I came to this country. But she created a fictional story that was rather difficult to listen to at the time when I was so little, and that's how I learned that I was adopted. But it was a story that I would later find out had no basis in truth when I actually was able to have contact with my birth mother, with Angeliki.
Let me translate, Andrew. Μας είπε ο Άντριου ότι έμαθε ότι ήταν υιοθετημένος από την θετή του μητέρα, την Iris, Iris, η οποία του δημιούργησε, λέει, μια φανταστική ιστορία, η οποία όμως δεν είχε καμία απολύτως βάση. Αυτό έγινε σε ηλικία 6-7 ετών περίπου. Okay, Andrew. Go ahead.
What else would you like me to tell you?
Tell us more about your adopted mother and your adopted father. Who were they? How did they decide to adopt somebody from, let's say, Greece, if they ever told you? Let me translate. Ρώτησα τον Άντριου να μας πει λίγα για την θετή του μητέρα και το θετό του πατέρα. Και να μας πει, αν ξέρει φυσικά, γιατί επέλεξαν να υιοθετήσουν ένα παιδί από την Ελλάδα. Yes, sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
So you tell me when you want me to stop to translate, but
yes,
I will start telling you anyway. So Richard Mosin, after whom I'm named, and my mother Iris Alford Mosin were, if you will, refugees from World War II. My father was from Poland. My mother was from Great Britain. They came to this country in 1940, 47, I believe, and settled in New York first, and then moved to Washington in 1956, 57. And because of complications that my adoptive mother had, Iris had, in terms of giving birth, they sought out an adoption. And the reason for their turning to Greece was that there were no young children, babies available from Great Britain, which is my mother's preference, nor from Poland. But Greece had, as we all know, in those circumstances, quite a few children who were sent overseas for adoption.
Okay, Andrew, let me translate. Μας είπε ο Andrew ότι οι γονείς του ήταν και δύο πρόσφυγες στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες. Ήρθανε πρόσφυγες το 1947. Ο πατέρας του από την Πολωνία και η μητέρα του από την Βρετανία. Μας είπε ότι εγκατασταθήκανε πρώτα στη Νέα Υόρκη και μετά το 1958 πήγανε στην Ουάσιγκτον. Η μητέρα του είχε κάποια προβλήματα και γι' αυτό δεν μπορούσε να γεννήσει κάποιο παιδί και αποφάσισε να υιοθετήσουν ένα. Ο λόγος που επέλεξαν να υιοθετήσουν κάποιο παιδί από την Ελλάδα ήταν γιατί δεν υπήρχαν τότε μικρά παιδιά προς υιοθεσία από τη Βρετανία που προτιμούσε η μητέρα του.
Πολωνία.
Και από την Πολωνία που ήταν ο πατέρας του και έτσι προτιμήσανε να υιοθετήσουν ένα παιδί από την Ελλάδα. Andrew, I wanted to ask you, do you know how they came to choose you? Τον ρωτάω τον Άντριου αν ξέρει πώς επέλεξαν αυτόν, εάν ξέρει. Go ahead, sorry. I had to...
So, this is something that I learned relatively late in my life, probably in the last 5-6 years when I was doing research for my memoir. But basically, they got in contact with a Catholic organization in Baltimore, and that organization was working with International Social Services, which facilitated the adoption. I believe that they were sent a photograph of me. I don't think it was like a selection, like, you know, choose from these several children. I think I was the only photograph that was sent and information about me. And that's basically how it happened.
Okay, let me translate. Andrew, μας είπε ο Andrew ότι το έμαθε αυτό τα τελευταία 5-6 χρόνια, ότι οι γονείς του, οι θετοί γονείς του επικοινώνησαν, ήρθαν σε επαφή με μια καθολική, ένα καθολικό οργανισμό στη Βαλτιμόρη. In Baltimore, ο οποίος με τη σειρά του συνεργαζόταν με εθνικές οργανισμούς, εθνικές υπηρεσίες μετανάστευσης. Έστειλαν, λέει, μία φωτογραφία του στην εκεί πέρα και κάποιες πληροφορίες για τον ίδιο και έτσι τον επέλεξαν. Okay, Andrew.
How were you brought to the United States? Did your parents went to Greece and took you, or you were sent?
Ο Πέτρος, let me translate. Ο Πέτρος ρώτησε τον Άνδριου πώς πήγες στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες. Ήρθανε οι θετοί γονείς του και τον πήραν από εδώ ή τον στείλανε με αεροπλάνο? Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
So initially in the correspondence that I have from, which is extensive, as you may know, the process was, you know, first of all, a caseworker was sent to Iris and Richard's house in Washington. There were several interviews with them. Then there was, at one point, a plan for Iris to go to Greece and pick me up, if you will, by, you know, take me on the airplane back to the United States. But for various reasons, I can't remember exactly why, that didn't turn out to be the case. And so I was flown over in the care of a nurse who came from Greece with me to what was then JFK Airport in
New York.
There's actually Idlewild Airport in New York City.
Yeah, okay. Μας είπε ο Άνδριου ότι αυτό που συνέβη ήταν ότι κάποιος κοινωνικός λειτουργός πήγε στο σπίτι των γονέων του, των θετών γονέων του. Είχανε αρκετά interviews, αρκετές συνεντεύξεις μαζί τους. Και ήταν να πάει η μητέρα του στην Ελλάδα, τελικά δεν τα κατάφερε για κάποιο λόγο. Και ο ίδιος ήρθε στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες, στο JFK, το αεροδρόμιο, στη Νέα Υόρκη, με την συνοδεία μιας Ελληνίδας νοσοκόμας. Okay, Andrew.
Yes.
Let me ask you something else then. What do you remember from your childhood years? What are your memories? You were with your adopted parents, obviously. You said that they told you you were adopted when you were 6, 7 years old. So what do you remember from that period? Ρωτάω τον Άντριου τι θυμάται από την περίοδο που ήταν παιδί με τους θετούς του γονείς. Go ahead, Andrew.
So, this is, you know, a... I mean, I can tell your listeners that this is a difficult many years. Iris was, among other things, an alcoholic. Richard was a functional alcoholic, but also. And they had a very violent relationship with each other that, you know, I obviously witnessed and I became the object of sometimes. So by the time I'm 6, 7 years old, there had been already multiple separations between my parents. I was staying with my mother, but my father would leave, then he would come back, and so on. And this continued until my mother died when I was 13. But so that's, you know, my memories of my childhood are quite vivid, but they include a lot of very difficult information, you know.
Μας είπε ο Ανδρίου ότι αυτό που θυμάται από εκείνα τα χρόνια, όταν ήταν νεαρό παιδί, το μικρό παιδί, θυμάται ότι και οι δύο γονείς του ήταν αλκοολικοί, ότι είχαν μια πολύ δύσκολη σχέση, ότι μερικές φορές χωρίζανε, επιστρέφανε και ούτω καθεξής και μερικές φορές και ο ίδιος έγινε αντικείμενο αυτής της αντιπαλότητας.
Ήταν μάρτυρας των επεισοδίων.
Μάρτυρας και των επεισοδίων μεταξύ των δύο γονέων του μέχρι την ηλικία των 13 ετών όταν πέθανε η θετή του μητέρα. It must have been a difficult period for you, right, Andrew?
Yes, I mean, you know, there were periods of relative calm when I was just with my mother. Because my father would not be there, or he would be living elsewhere. You know, he would often be at work, but even then, he was not present really that much. And Iris and I developed, you know, at some point, a very close relationship. But because of her own temperament and drinking, it became, you know, whenever she became violent, it was directed at me. So there was no way to avoid that, and it was just me and her most of the time.
Let me translate, Andrew. Μας είπε λοιπόν ότι υπήρχαν περίοδοι ησυχίας, ηρεμίας, όταν ήταν με τη μητέρα του, την Iris, στο
αλλά
σπίτι.
Επειδή έπινε και ήταν και βίαιοι πολλές φορές και
σε αυτές τις περιπτώσεις
ξέσπαγε πάνω του.
Well, you said, είπες, Andrew, your mother, your adopted mother died at the age of 13 years old, when you were 13 years old. What happened afterwards? Τον ρώτησα ότι αφού η μητέρα του πέθανε σε ηλικία 13 ετών, τι συνέβη μετά? What happened afterwards? Τι συνέβη μετά?
So, when Iris died, I was at a small Catholic school in York, Pennsylvania. She died on Christmas Eve, which is, you know, a very obviously difficult time for any such thing to happen. But I came back to Washington to live with my father at the end of the next school year, school term, I should say. So in 1972, in the spring, I finished my last semester at the private school. I came back to Washington, and I started going to public school in Washington, and then it was just my father and I living together in the same house.
How was the situation with your father after the death of your mother?
How was the relationship between me and my father?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, a curious sort of thing started to happen because Richard, who didn't remarry, you know, for the rest of his life, but at that time he depended on me to take care of the house, to be sort of a, you know, wife to him in some way. So as a, you know, 13, 14-year-old kid, I was basically responsible for all the household cooking, chores, etc.
So you were grown up very quickly.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, let me translate, Andrew. Μας είπε ο Άντριου, τον ρωτήσαμε τι συνέβη μετά το θάνατο της μητέρας του. Είπε ότι ήταν σε ένα καθολικό σχολείο ο ίδιος εκείνη την εποχή. Η μητέρα του πέθανε την παραμονή των Χριστουγέννων και ήταν μια πολύ δύσκολη περίοδος. Μετά από αυτό πήγε να μείνει με τον πατέρα του στην Ουάσιγκτον, ο οποίος, όπως μας έχει πει, ήταν και ο ίδιος ήταν αλκοολικός. Τον ρώτησε ο Πέτρος πώς ήταν η σχέση του με τον πατέρα του και είπε ότι ο πατέρας του δεν ξαναπαντρεύτηκε και ο ίδιος σε ηλικία 13-14 ετών έκανε όλες τις δουλειές στο σπίτι και κατά κάποιο τρόπο ο πατέρας του εξαρτάται από αυτόν για τις δουλειές του σπιτιού. So that was the case when you were 13-14 years old, right, Andrew? But you, at some point, you said you went to the public school and then you went to college, obviously, no?
Yes, yes.
So, how was this period? It was the same, more or less? Let me translate. Τον ρωτάω τον Άντριου, του λέω μετά τα 13-14 και μέχρι να πάει στο κολέγιο, πώς ήταν η σχέση?
So, the situation continued, you know, as long as I lived at home through high school. Obviously, I was growing up. I had girlfriends and so on. And my father and I developed this kind of relationship that grew out of that initial tragic loss of Iris into my becoming his helper and, you know, housemate, really, in some ways. And we developed a friendship, finally, through those years.
Richard, how old was your father at that time?
Well, he was I'm 65 now. My father was 65 when I finished high school. So that tells you something.
Okay.
So in 1975, he was 65 years old. So he was quite an older person to be having a kid in those days.
Ναι, μας είπε, let me translate, μας είπε ο Άντριο ότι ο πατέρας του ήταν 65 ετών όταν ο ίδιος ήταν 17-18 χρονών, όταν έβγαινε από το γυμνάσιο, λύκειο της εποχής. Ήταν κάτι ασυνήθιστο για εκείνη την εποχή και ότι με τα χρόνια αναπτύξανε μία φιλία με τον πατέρα του. Άντριο, when did you come to know that you had a biological mother in Greece called Angeliki?
Also, did you ask your father about that?
Τον ρωτήσαμε πότε ήρθε να μάθει, έμαθε ότι είχε στην Ελλάδα μία βιολογική του μητέρα, την Αγγελική. Και επίσης ο Πέτρος...
Αν το συζήτησε με τον πατέρα του.
Αυτό το συζήτησε με τον πατέρα του. Go ahead, Andrew.
So, this is an interesting question because, you know... I would say that largely through my high school and even early college years, I didn't go back to Greece in my imagination, thinking. I'm not sure why. I think probably because the overwhelming impact of my first 11 years in this country were so devastating. It took me a long time to work that out. But late in the 1980s, at one point I was visiting my father from Philadelphia, I think it was, where I was living at the time, where I've stayed, basically, since then. And he gave me a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper were written two names, my mother, Angeliki Sakas, and her birth date, and my father's name, Eftimois Kouroubis, and his birth date. And my father said to me, giving me this piece of paper, only one thing. He said, maybe this will be some use to you one day. And that was the only conversation we really had about it. And it would be another several years as I started writing various pieces of work that became clearly joined to these early memories that I started to understand that I needed to, you know, do something in terms of seeking out my parents, if I could, my Greek parents.
So that was in the 80s, right? The first time he gave you this piece of paper.
Yeah, and I hadn't done any contact yet with ISS or anything like that.
Let me translate. Μας είπε λοιπόν ο Άντριου ότι τη δεκαετία του 80, μια μέρα που επισκέφθηκε τον πατέρα του, του έδωσε ένα χαρτί όπου ήταν μέσα, σε αυτό το χαρτί ήταν γραμμένα τα ονόματα της μητέρας του, Αγγελική Σακά, και του πατέρα του. The name of your father was Ευθύμιος Κουρούμπης. Ευθύμιος Κουρούμπης, το όνομα του
Κουρούμπης, B-I-S or P-I-S or Κουρούμπης.
K-H-O-U-R-I-B-I-S.
B, Κουρούμπης.
Κουρούμπης. Οκ. Του έδωσε τα ονόματα και του είπε ότι αυτό το χαρτί μπορεί να του φανεί χρήσιμο μία μέρα. Κάποια χρόνια πέρασαν και μετά σκέφτηκε ο Άντριου ότι είχε έρθει η ώρα να ξεκινήσει να μάθει περισσότερα για την βιολογική του οικογένεια. And when did you start looking for them, Andrew? Πότε ξεκίνησες να ψάχνεις για την βιολογική σου οικογένεια?
So the earliest I remember was sometime, I think, in the early 1990s. And I was, I think this was with my, at the time I'd just married my second wife, and I was living in New Jersey. And I reached out to International Social Services because I had some paperwork left me by my father. He had given me that indicated some of the context of my adoption. So I got in touch with, the New York office of International Social Services and asked if they had any information. And they contacted the Greek branch. And then in 1995, I got the first letter from my mother in Greek, translated from ISS caseworker.
Μάλιστα. So let me translate. Μας είπε λοιπόν ο Άντριου ότι βασικά η πρώτη επαφή σκέφτηκε μάλλον ότι στις αρχές δεκαετίας του 90 ξεκίνησε να ψάχνει για την οικογένειά του. Εκείνη την εποχή ήταν στο New Jersey, στην πολιτεία του New Jersey, με την δεύτερη γυναίκα του. Κοίταξε, ήρθε σε επαφή με το γραφείο του ISS, του International Social Service της Νέας Υόρκης, και ζήτησε πληροφορίες για την βιολογική του οικογένεια. Αυτοί επικοινώνησαν με την Ελλάδα και σε κάποιο σημείο το 1995 έλαβε το πρώτο γράμμα από την βιολογική του μητέρα, την
Αγγελική,
στα ελληνικά, μεταφρασμένο από το ISS στα αγγλικά. So, how did you feel at that point? Πώς αισθάνθηκες?
And what was written in that letter?
Και τι έγραφε το γράμμα?
The letter was, and I just actually pulled it out of my papers for preparation for our talk today, but it was filled with, her life story up to the point of, really when she had to give me up for adoption, and then continuing after, describing her life in Greece, as a woman who had a child out of wedlock. She had to leave her village to go to Athens, which is where she went to Mitera, and that is where she actually stayed the entire time I was there. And which I didn't know, and she included this information in her letter. She also included the information about what happened with my father, my biological father, Efti Moise, which was a completely different story from what I'd heard from my mother. And it answered the question of basically why she ended up being alone. And she ended up after I was adopted and left Greece. She stayed in Athens. She had a very limited formal education, but did her work as a custodial supervisor in her apartment building where she was had work, I think, throughout most of her life.
Yes.
And that was all of this she revealed to me in this letter, which was very painful to read at the time.
Μας είπε ότι στο γράμμα αυτό, το οποίο έλαβε από τη μητέρα του, περιέγραφε η μητέρα του τη ζωή της, και μας είπε ο Άντριου ότι του εξήγησε ότι τον έκανε εκτός γάμου, αναγκάστηκε να φύγει από το χωριό της, να έρθει στην Αθήνα, έμεινε και η ίδια στο μητέρα στο βρεφοκομείο μητέρα της, την εποχή που ήταν και αυτός εκεί πέρα, και του περιέγραψε τη ζωή της, του είπε ότι είχε μια δύσκολη ζωή, του είπε ότι ήταν βασικά θυρωρός σε μια πολυκατοικία από ό,τι καταλαβαίνουμε για τα προστοζήν. And what about your father? Did he tell you anything about your father, your biological father?
No, and this was, you know, from what I understood from Angeliki, they had no relationship after their brief, you know, time together. He disappeared, from what I could tell. I'm not sure what happened to him.
Yeah.
And when I asked ISS if they had any information about him, they had nothing that they could reveal to me.
Μάλιστα. Του είπε η μητέρα του ότι βασικά εξαφανίστηκε από τη ζωή της. Μετά από αυτό δεν έχουν ούτε το ούτε ο ISS είχε κάποια πληροφορία για τον πατέρα του. And that was your that was the first letter you got from your mother. Did you receive? I guess you must have received more letters. Πρέπει να έχεις λάβει περισσότερα γράμματα από τη μητέρα σου. Is it the case?
Yes. Yes, I received letters until roughly 2002. Then the letters stopped coming. I asked the ISS if they could find out what was happening. And then at some point in 2003, I was told that Angeliki had died of complications, I think, from phlebitis and other health issues that she was having. In that period, you know... And it's difficult to say this, but, you know, I wanted to help. There was really not much I could do. I offered to send medicine to my mother, which she rejected. She said, no, I don't need you to send me, you know, any medicine. It's fine. I know she didn't have really good health care, and she wrote this in her letters to me. It was very hard for her. But, you know, to the end of her days, she would send me, you know, letters with photographs. She would send me birthday cards and so on.
Okay, let me translate, Andrew. Μας είπε λοιπόν ότι συνέχισε να λαμβάνει γράμματα και άλλα από τη μητέρα του μέχρι το 2002. Από εκεί πέρα ξαφνικά σταματήσανε. Πληροφορήθηκε εκ των υστέρων γιατί ρώτησε ότι η μητέρα του είχε πεθάνει λόγω περιπλοκών που είχε πρόβλημα με την υγεία της και δεν λάμβανε, λέει... δεν είχαν καλής ιατρικής
περίθαλψης. Richard, you were the only child of her, of Angeliki.
Yes, she never had any other children, and she married briefly later in life, I think in the 70s, I believe, and then that ended in divorce after, I think, a couple of years.
Μας είπε ότι όταν ήταν στα 70 της παντρεύτηκε κάποιον, αλλά αυτό τελείωσε πολύ σύντομα γιατί πήρε διαζύγιο από τον ίδιο άνθρωπο. So you don't have any siblings or something in Greece, right? Δεν έχεις κάτι.
No, I have cousins though.
Ah, you have cousins, so, okay.
From your mother's side, you mean?
Yes, yes.
Are you in touch
and
with
one
them?
One of them, if she, you know, is listening, she might be my age. Her name is Agatha. And I have a photograph of her that Angeliki sent to me. And she had a brother who ended up oddly, not so oddly because this was the situation for many Greeks I later understood, you know, he ended up in Poland, in the south of Poland, where he raised a family. And so I know that, you know, he, at least at the time she was writing, he was still alive. I don't know where he is now or if he's still in Poland or alive, but yeah.
You don't have you did not keep contact with Agathi.
No, and you know this is. I mean, your listeners will understand this, and you know this certainly that for all sorts of reasons, my family in Greece, such as they are, I asked ISS, in fact, to reach out to them, those they could contact, and there was a firm rejection of any opening of any dialogue.
Really?
They couldn't do it. They didn't want to do it.
So
which I understood, but you know that's the way it is.
The only ones open was this cousin of yours, Agatha. She was the only one willing to talk to you, to contact you.
No, she wasn't willing.
She wasn't willing.
Nobody was. No, I think that.
Why do you think? What do you think? Why?
Well,
I think. I don't know really, but I think that it was very painful for other family members. I think it may have been difficult for those who were close to Angeliki when she was younger and had seen her leave the village, you know, because there were some members of the family who stayed in Liknon, which is where I, you know, Angeliki was from.
From where? From where she was?
Liknon, L-I-K-N-O-N. I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly.
Liknon.
Liknon. Do you know the area? Where is that? Which part of Greece?
Well, I actually, in 1990, when I traveled to Greece with my first wife, we went to the village.
Where is that?
About 38 kilometers north of Athens.
Oh, nearby, you mean?
Yeah. And we went up there. It was a very hot day. It was the summer. And my wife at the time knew a little Greek, so she got on the phone and tried to get the operator to give us any indication of where Sakas might be if they were still in the area. And there was no listing for them. But we came to the village where my mother grew up, you know, and then we left. And that's the closest I came to ever finding anything directly.
When was that, Richard?
That was in 1990, and I hadn't yet done any of the contact information with ISS or anything like that yet.
And you said that was in Attica, in the greater area of Attica.
Shortly after you received the letter from your mother.
Well, 5 years later, yeah.
5 years later. Yeah. But she didn't give you any address so you could meet her.
Well, there was nobody. The operator on the, you know, phone exchange said that there was no Sakas. They had no listing for Sakas in Liknon. So either the family had left or they didn't have a phone number. I don't know.
Yes.
I am trying to find this village, where that village is. Anyway, let me translate.
I'm spelling it correctly. It's L-I-K-N-O-N. And it was a tiny village with, you know, but a train stop right in the middle of the town. And 1990, I went there.
Μας είπε ο Άντριου ότι δεν είχε μεν αδέρφια στην Ελλάδα, είχε όμως μία ξαδέρφη, την Αγάθη, και είχε κι άλλο ένα ξαδερφό, ο οποίος ήταν ο αδερφός της, ο οποίος, όπως έμαθε εκ των υστέρων, πήγε στην Νότια Πολωνία, όπου έμεινε και έκανε οικογένεια. Κανένας από αυτούς δεν ήθελε να έρθουν σε επαφή μαζί του και γι' αυτό δεν έχει επαφές με τα υπόλοιπα μέλη της οικογένειάς του. Οι λόγοι ίσως συνδέονται με την όλη ιστορία της μητέρας του, της Αγγελικής. Τον ρωτήσαμε από πού έρχεται, από πού κατάγεται η μητέρα του, και μας είπε ότι όταν ήρθε στην Ελλάδα την πρώτη φορά, δεκαετία του 90, με την πρώτη γυναίκα του, πήγανε σε ένα χωριό ονόματι Λίκνον, εδώ στην Αττική, λέει 38 χιλιόμετρα. You said 38 kilometers outside Athens.
Something like this. I may be incorrect, but I think basically about 45 miles, something like that.
So it's more than that.
Yes, it would be about
60, 70 kilometers. Anyway, because I can't really find this village.
It's a bit strange to me that you had correspondence, you were corresponding with your mother, but she didn't give you an address if you were coming to Greece to meet her.
That was something that in our conversations in letters, first of all, I had no ability to fly to Greece later. I didn't have money and so on.
Yeah.
But there was a possibility. I remember in the, I want to say early 2000s, I was broaching the possibility of coming to Greece and meeting Angeliki, and ISS was going to be involved in that, and they would be, sort of acting as mediators. But there was discussion of it, but then nothing came of it.
Okay, because we are running out of time, Andrew, I wanted to ask you, your mother, when in her letters, addressed you as the son from the mountains, and you wrote a book about it. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about this book? Ρώτησα τον Άντριο ότι στα γράμματα της η μητέρα του τον τον προσφώνησε με το όνομα «Ο γιος από τα βουνά». Και ο ίδιος ο Άντριου έγραψε ένα βιβλίο, το οποίο έχει τον τίτλο «The Son from the Mountains», «Ο γιος από τα βουνά». Θέλεις να μας πεις λίγα λόγια γι' αυτό, please.
So in brief, this is the memoir that brings together these two different worlds into which I was born, or raised and born. And it uses documents from the letters I had from my mother, from Angeliki, as a sort of pre-story to what would then evolve in my childhood life in Washington with Iris and Richard. And it ends with a coda that is directed back towards Angeliki, who is, I don't know actually where she is buried. I believe somewhere in Athens. And I asked, in fact, ISS for information about that, and they weren't able to provide me any details about where she was finally laid to rest. So the book is very much about that arc that my life made as an adoptee from Athens.
Μας είπε για το βιβλίο του ότι είναι ένα βιβλίο αναμνήσεων, περιλαμβάνει τα γράμματα της μητέρας του. Ο ίδιος ρώτησε το ISS πού βρίσκεται ο τάφος της μητέρας του, αλλά δεν μπορούσαν να του δώσουν περισσότερες πληροφορίες. So you don't really know the mountain.
I don't know the mountain she was referring to, no.
Yeah, you don't know the mountain.
I assume it's in the mountains that are, you know, north of Greece, but north of Athens, I should say, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it could be one of those. I don't know much.
Dimitris comes from the same mountains northern
really,
of Greece, a little bit further, though.
Yeah, a little bit further, I'm more. Well, anyway, because as I said, we are running out of time, Andrew. I want to thank you very much for being with us. Your story
thank
was
you so much for talking
very,
with me.
Very
pleasure.
Touching, and η ιστορία ήταν πολύ συγκινητική.
So your name could be, you could be named Kouroubis instead
that
of Mosin.
Mosin. Well,
I might be. I came to this country with a passport that had Sakas as my name.
So Sakas, your mother's name.
The name of your
mother.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, listen, thank you very much for being with us. I hope that we'll be able to talk to you again. Thank you very much once again, and
thank you, brother. Keep
thank
safe
you.
And strong.
Thank you. You too. You're stay safe and well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.